going to continue this morning with Canto 3. Chapter number 17. We just covered the first verse, and the chapter is about Hiranyaksha. The victory of Hiranyaksha is the title, and they're the two twins are just about to be born, and we'll just read the previous verse. The demigods, the inhabitants of the higher planets, were freed from all fear upon hearing the cause of the darkness explained by Brahma, who was born from Vishnu. Thus they all returned to the respective planets. So we heard about the nature of a sura or devotee. A divine person is, they respect authority ultimately, Lord Vishnu. In this case, they're respecting Brahma. The verse is saying he's the direct son of Lord Vishnu and the father of the demigods, or grandsire, etc. So now comes a description of inauspiciousness. We're going to read from 2 through, I think it's 15. The virtuous lady Diti. Interesting, she's being described as virtuous, although what she did wasn't so nice. Sadvi is the term. Sadvi. The virtuous lady Diti had been very apprehensive of trouble to the gods from the children in her womb. That was what was told by her husband. And her husband predicted the same. She brought forth twin sons after a full 100 years of pregnancy. That really tops Shukadev Goswami, 16 and 100. On the birth of the two demons, there were many natural disturbances, all very fearful and wonderful. In the heavenly planets, the earthly planets, plural, and in between them. Text 4. There were earthquakes along the mountains on the earth, and it appeared that there was fire everywhere. So previously it was darkness, now it's fire. Many inauspicious planets like Saturn appeared, along with comets, meteors, and thunderbolts, purport. When natural disturbances occur on a planet, one should understand that a demon must have taken birth there. In the present age, the number of demoniac people is increasing. Therefore, natural disturbances are also increasing. There is no doubt about this, as we can understand from the statements of the Bhagavatam. Text 5. There blew winds which were most uninviting to the touch, hissing again and again and uprooting gigantic trees. They had storms for their armies and clouds of dust for their ensigns. Dvaja. Dvaja is the Sanskrit word for ensigns. Purport. When there are natural disturbances like blowing cyclones, too much heat, or snowfall, and uprooting of trees by hurricanes, it is to be understood that the demoniac population is increasing, and so the natural disturbance is also taking place. There are many countries on the globe, even at the present moment, where all these disturbances are current. This is true all over the world. There is insufficient sunshine, doesn't mention England. And there are always clouds in the sky, snowfall, and severe cold. These assure that such places are inhabited by demoniac people who are accustomed to all kinds of forbidden sinful activity. Text 6. The luminaries in the heavens were screened by masses of clouds in which lightning sometimes flashed as though laughing. Darkness reigned everywhere and nothing could be seen. The ocean with its high waves wailed aloud as if stricken with sorrow. And there was a commotion among the creatures inhabiting the ocean. The rivers and lakes were also agitated, and lotuses withered. Misty halos appeared around the sun and the moon during the solar and lunar eclipses. Again and again, claps of thunder were heard, even without clouds, and sounds like those of rattling chariots emerged from the mountain caves. In the interior of the villages, she-jackals yelled portentously, vomiting strong fire from their mouths. Yikes. And jackals and owls also joined them with their cries. Raising their necks, dogs cried here and there, now in the manner of singing, and now of wailing. O Vidura, the asses ran hither and thither in herds, striking the earth with their hard hooves and wildly braying. You want to be around where all this is going on. Purport. Asses also feel very respectable as a race, and when they run in flocks hither and thither in so-called jollity, it is understood to be a bad sign for human society. Text 12. Frightened by the braying of the asses, birds flew shrieking from their nests, while cattle in the cowsheds, as well as in the woods, passed dung and urine. You know, fear. Cows, terrified, yielded blood in place of milk. Clouds rained pus. The images of the gods in the temples shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. Text 14. Ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn, Saturn's been mentioned twice now, shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones such as Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Bhaganan seems to be the Sanskrit. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another. Purport. The entire universe is moving under the three modes of material nature. Those living entities who are in goodness are called the pious species. Pious lands, pious trees, etc. It is similar with the planets also. Many planets are considered pious, and others are considered impious. Saturn and Mars are considered impious. When the pious planets shine very brightly, it is an auspicious sign. But when the inauspicious planets shine very brightly, that is not a very good sign. And the last text, 15. Marking these and many other omens of evil times, everyone but the four sage sons of Brahma, who were aware of the fall of Jayan Vijay and of their birth as Diti's sons, was seized with fear. They did not know the secrets of these, spelled incorrectly, portents. To portend is to foretell. And thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. Purport. According to Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, the laws of nature are so stringent that it is impossible for the living entity to surpass their enforcement. It is also explained that only those who are fully surrendered to Krishna in Krishna consciousness can be saved. We can learn from the description of the Srimad Bhagavatam that it is because of the birth of two great demons that there were so many natural disturbances. It is to be indirectly understood, as previously described, that when there are constant disturbances on the earth, that is an omen that some demoniac people have been born, or that the demoniac population has increased. In former days, there were only two demons, those born of Diti. Yet, there were so many disturbances. At the present day, especially in this age of Kali, these disturbances are always visible, which indicates that the demoniac population has certainly increased. Paragraph. To check the increase of demoniac population, the Vedic civilization enacted so many rules and regulations of social life, the most important of which is the Garbhadhana process for begetting good children. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna informed Krishna that if there is unwanted population, varna sankhara, the entire world will appear to be hell. People are very anxious for peace in the world, but there are so many unwanted children born. Without the benefit of the Garbhadhana ceremony, just like the demons born from Diti. Diti was so lusty that she forced her husband to copulate at a time which was inauspicious, and therefore the demons were born to create disturbances. And having sex life to beget children, one should observe the process for begetting nice children. If each and every householder and every family observes the Vedic system, then there are nice children, not demons. And automatically, there is peace in the world. If we do not follow regulations in life for social tranquility, we cannot expect peace. Rather, we'll have to undergo the stringent reactions of material laws. When Srila Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement, he didn't start with these kinds of messages. That came much later. Initially, it was simply chant and be happy, take prasadam, hear Bhagavad Gita, do some simple service, go on Harinam. Simple. And the purpose of that was understanding the audience. They didn't want restriction. They wanted fun or pleasure. And the activities of Krishna consciousness are transcendentally pleasurable, and so that's what he did. Then, in course of time, even specifically at the request of his close followers, they requested, are there some regulations? And he gave some regulations. And then in course of time, those regulations became standard. So here we are, and there's standard regulations. And they're not invented. You read carefully this first canto of the Bhagavatam, and the four pillars of religiosity, that's the four legs of the bowl that personality Kali was breaking. Each one of those legs, the four legs of the bowl, represent pillars of Dharma. The bowl, Dharma, was being broken by Kali. And when Dharma is broken, this is what we're hearing. and inauspiciousness and trouble for the whole world. And it's increasing and increasing, and so trouble is increasing and increasing. And people don't want the regulation, they just want the disturbances to diminish. So then it goes to some kind of adjustment of the circumstances. But that's never going to work. It's in principle not going to work. It's exactly as the reference that Prabhupada is making, 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Stringent laws are stringent laws, infallible laws of nature. Governments or well-wishing groups of people may wish to make the world more auspicious and less inauspicious, more trouble-free, less fraught with disturbances. What to speak of disturbances of nature, just even disturbances between groups of people and groups of people. We have these three kinds of kleshas, one of the natural ones, the other is interpersonal ones, and the other is within our own mind. And the principles of Dharma, so these four that Prabhupada has given us and holds committed devotees to follow, is for the peace of mind and the peace of social interaction and the peace of natural disturbances to being diminished individually and then in turn collectively. It's very practical. It may seem not practical. Some people find it not practical. It's right in Bhagavad Gita. May the devotional service, chapter 12, there are persons who cannot fix their mind on Krishna and have their intelligence absorbed fully in his service, and so the regulations of bhakti yoga are given to help them come to that position. And that's the fruit. Not only the mind becomes less disturbed. We discussed this specifically yesterday in terms of speech. When speech is controlled, when the tongue is controlled, it helps control the other senses. And when the other senses are controlled, it helps control the mind. And when the mind and senses are controlled, then it's easier to see the light, to understand Krishna and move towards Krishna steadily. Those regulations don't in and of themselves create spirituality or understanding Krishna. On the other hand, they're obstacles if we don't. And so they go side by side. We had this discussion yesterday. One helps the other. The primary, exactly as Prabhupada did, is bhakti, and that which fosters bhakti, starting with the chanting of the holy name and other things also, other activities, the natural forms of devotional service that flow from hearing and chanting. Then the regulations have their place. It helps us chant with concentration. We say it conversely. It neglecting these things makes it more difficult to chant with concentration. And making shortcuts and compromises here and there. It goes on, but it makes it more difficult to follow the bhakti process effectively and reach what the gift of the holy name is giving, ultimately, pure devotional service, the purnar janma nai, na. And that otherwise there's forces that bind us. So that's what we're hearing. Now, it's being explained, this is the same as we discussed earlier. Bhagavad Gita is the ABC. And to help us understand ABC, there's, of course, purports, but then there's the Puranic literature that gives illustration, history, that explains how it works. So here's the history of Aditi. She's on sadhvi. On the one hand, she's called virtuous. On the other hand, her action was out of control. And because of that out of control action of the senses, disturbance. She was disturbed, the demigods were disturbed, the heavenly planets, earth planets, and everywhere in between was disturbed. And not just by one thing, by darkness, but so many, many, many things. So we can say, well, that's, shame on Diti. But then we can also say for ourselves, we're not so powerful like Diti, but it adds to the turmoil in our lives and in the world that we live in. That's the emphasis that Prabhupada is giving. Demoniac population increasing is demonstrated by exactly what the Bhagavatam is saying. He's just saying it again and again, by just natural disturbances. And demoniac population arises from neglect of proper sanskaras. So we don't want to have that responsibility. And so a life of unrestricted senses leads to turmoil, not only for ourselves but for others. And following the principle of controlling the tongue and controlling, in turn, other senses, and then controlling the mind, it not only makes our life more peaceful, but the world more peaceful. That's one of the... It's not in the seven purposes of ISKCON, but it's something that Srila Prabhupada said a number of times. The purpose of ISKCON, the purpose of his Hare Krishna movement, is to create a first-class men. First-class men meaning brahminical. And how do you create brahminical from people that have some other nature? By the Vaishnava process. It doesn't mean that our nature changes, but it means the control of the mind and senses, sama dhamma tapaksho cham shantir ajivam evacha gyanam vijnanam astikam brahma karma swabhavajam. It's the natural outcome of the sadhana bhakti as consciousness becomes elevated in those ways. Natural. It doesn't mean somebody that's a business-minded person stops being a businessman and becomes a performer of puja as his occupation. It doesn't mean that. But it means characteristics that are symptomatic of an elevated mode of goodness-directed person awakens in the life of one who engages in sadhana bhakti. That's the understanding. So we're being advised in the purports through the narration of this story to understand the importance of regulation, specifically regulation of the senses according to the codes of Dharma, and what flows from that, the divine and demoniac chapter, just being told in this narration. There's the devas, the demigods, the suras, and then there's the asuras. And the two pictures are side by side. And we're hearing the very first verse of this chapter, now this one. Except for the four Kumaras, people were fearful. And the fearful was seeing the omens. But even the omens, the fear can subside if A and B, we understand what's the cause of the omens, and B, Lord Vishnu is going to help, give protection. So in this age, it's rampant, it's Kali Yuga, and so the protection comes from, there's something that we have to do, we can't just be complacent. There's something that we have to do, that is the propagation of the chanting of the holy name. Chanting and the propagation of chanting. Receive and on behalf of Lord Chaitanya give the panacea, the cure for these portents, the inauspicious signs of the age of Kali. Or as Prabhupada would say sometimes, the golden age within the iron age. We have that opportunity, we have that understanding, we have that responsibility, and we may be really small persons, and what can we do? But to our capacity we do, and we work with others to make it more effective and so forth. And that's what we can do. It's a standard theistic question that says, what about all the sinful activity of people? This is the third canto, and at the end of the fifth canto is the description of the hellish planets, what to speak of inauspiciousness on earth, the destination of the hellish planets. So what to do? It's a question of, different religions have a different answer to the question. What can be done to help people be relieved from the reactions of their sins? So here it's disturbances, and then after that it's going to a lower species, and before the lower species comes visiting hell. Not nice. So what to do? So aside from becoming forgiven for sins by some atonement process or some forgiveness of sins, how to stop the tendency, because it's going to make the place darker and darker. It's uprooting the tendency. And uprooting the tendency is awakening bhakti. And the most effective way of awakening bhakti in this age is chanting the holy name. So there we have it. And association with sadhus. So we somehow have indirectly the assignment to become sadhu by the chanting of the holy name, by receiving and then giving, as tiny and as imperfect as we are. At least directionally, take the knowledge, receive the knowledge, bring it in the heart, and give it to others, and create auspiciousness as opposed to the other. The regulations follow, the activities take them on from the heart, become qualified, purified, elevated in consciousness, and from that position, in a cooperative manner, give. That's the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right within the Bhagavatam and our Bhaktivedanta purports. So any discussion?
And the hierarchy of verses. And in that, as you were mentioning, Vashila Prabhupada's approach, where in one sense he took the essence of the fifth verse and started from there, not from the first one, the one ashrama one. So this thing that, and as yesterday you were mentioning about that, its alignment has a place. It's not
yes.
It's cosmetic.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So one of the things that I was reflecting back was when we are saying we are a follower of Hare Krishna movement or ISKCON, even as a practitioner, there still there is a room for application or a practical example of how, like even I was thinking of how to live a life of a grihastha or even the role of a homemaker in one sense. The application, there is room for a lot of alignment that that we have to work on.
Yes.
And not necessarily that, so the principle still remains valid and intact.
Yes.
But the application is more and more getting like, working on the ground level.
Yes. It sounds like you're emphasizing one thing, but I'd like to add. One is just being a member of the Hare Krishna movement and doing certain behaviors, that's a good beginning. And there's the alignment with the principles, that's our internal work in addition to the external work. And then it becomes complete. That's what you're saying. One supports the other. So there was the other. The just went away. The other thought in response to what you were saying. It went away. Maybe it'll come back. Something else? Yeah.
So you were talking about tendency to sin, right? So like while getting cleansed on one side, that tendency is there.
Yes.
So
what to do?
Yeah, what to
do? Well, with faith in the bhakti process, one turns with faith to the bhakti process and appeals to the giver of the bhakti process, Krishna and Radharani, to help me overcome this tendency. Now, according to, when you read carefully, Canto 6, the first introductory verses, the question you're asking is addressed. And it's addressed this way. Jiva Goswami's commentary says, even in the sadhana stage, where tendency is continuing, because we're not at the stage of shuddha, we're in the stage of mixed. Even sadhana bhakti, even abhas bhakti, has the power to uproot tendency. That's the beginning of auspiciousness, but you know, with faith. So the what to do is invest faith in the bhakti process, because even in the mixed stage or the shadow stage, abhas bhakti stage, the potency is there to remove even the tendency. So that's what we do. Knowing the tendency is there, there's this, what I just said is, there's a nice verse in the 11th canto Bhagavatam that describes one who is a practicing devotee who has faith in the bhakti process and in Krishna, the object, and honestly recognizes tendency is still there. So Krishna is explaining what that person should do, which is your question. Three things. They recognize that this tendency is going to bring misfortune. However, second, because the tendency is there, they not joyfully and willfully, but they act knowing that because of that tendency, with regret, very important, with regret. And the third is invest faith in the bhakti process. I must continue, I will continue, I commit to continue in the bhakti process because it'll help me get beyond this tendency. Knowing, as I go on, it's going to bring suffering to me and others dear to me, and others also. That's the message from the Bhagavatam, Krishna to Arjuna, to Uddhava. So I just mentioned, you know, faith in the bhakti process. faith in the bhakti process. And not liberally, oh, well, the bhakti process is going to take care of everything, so here I go. One who has that, Prabhupada calls that, it's one of the offenses against the chanting of the holy name. Continue to sin on the strength of chanting, or continue to sin on the strength of the bhakti process. Starts with chanting. That's an offense. And when that offense is made, the bhakti devi or nama prabhu are not there, because the mentality is offensive towards them. So they that beneficial potency is withdrawn, because they have withdrawn themselves. So therefore, the regret is very important. And the faith is very important. And knowing what the goal is, what it really looks like, that's important. Yes.
When you hear the pastimes of the Lord, any pastime, you always hear that they are under the yogamaya potency. So is my understanding right that the actions of Diti, when you hear the demonic side, are they also under the yogamaya potency?
The mahamaya. But mahamaya is the abhas of yogamaya. Right? The reflection. Mahamaya exists because of the existence of yogamaya, or the internal potency. Yogamaya samavrita. Okay? You're all right?
So they will have reactions and reactions continuously.
Who's they?
The dipi and all the demons, whoever they
are. Yeah.
They continue to have birth and rebirth.
Yes. Yes. And implicated in the actions of their misdeeds. Even they may become very powerful. But ultimately, that power, well, two things. Ultimately, that power comes from the same source as the power of the demigods, or the suras, the godly souls. And ultimately they're defeated. Moga asha moga karmano, moga jnana pacheta saha, rakshasim asarim chaiva. They're defeated. Although they may become very powerful and etc., etc. Wealthy, opulent, influential. Yes, go ahead, go ahead. Mataji, go ahead.
So, Guru Maharaj, I was asking about the, when you said, well, if we have the faith, but there are tendencies and there is the modes of nature, how do we practically take the steps to adhere to the codes of Dharma?
Well, according to your capacity. According to capacity. With your question, how do you take the steps towards what you know the goal to be when you're not having sufficient strength and purity to meet that standard? How do you practically? You practically navigate the territory by doing as best you can, knowing that the bhakti process should never be neglected, and regret that that weakness is keeping you from the standard. Not beating yourself up, that not that kind of regret, but regret that there's this weakness. And it, so that when there's weakness, just like a child calling for the parent, for strength, for protection, for shelter. That's an indication of going forward instead of just complacent. Yes.
Maharaj, this is with regards to yesterday evening's class. You talked about like Chan Kazi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when I was reading that section, I remember that vaguely that the discussion goes something along the lines where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, how can you, like you mentioned in the class yesterday, about slaughter. And Chan Kazi says, but it's also Vedas.
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's answer was. Was it something on the lines that but sacrifice leads to liberation of the earth?
No. What I recall, I'd have to go back and look and see exactly what he said, but what I recall is, but never take the life of a cow, because the cow is the mother. That's what I recall. Now the other is something else that could be said, but what I recall what he said was about cows, the mother. Because the starting point was, what kind of religion is this that says you can kill your mother? Yeah.
We are talking about compassion in the evening. So I was thinking, like, suffering that comes along the way. Of course, Queen Kuti sees that as compassion. Like, at my stage, like, mostly things are coming from my mind, like the kleshas you mentioned. Out of three, you know, mostly, for me personally, it's mostly from the mind. How do I see that as compassionate? Or do I see that as a compassionate?
Does your father ever deny you the privilege of doing something? Sometimes. He can be liberal and he can, you know, draw a line, and it's you don't do that because you're mean. And from, you know, his perspective, maybe it's mean. It's not, you're not being compassionate, Dad. So we've made choices that we're responsible for, and it's part of the lesson that we should not make such choices. We may not even remember what the choices are, but there's responsibility for our free will choices, including these things that are being described here, you know, the disturbances, etc. We're responsible, and we're being held responsible, and it's to help us understand that's not a place of happiness. No, it's not. Anyway, it's not mean. It's compassion. It's to help rectify the errant condition of the souls that have prone to go off in an unhealthy, unwholesome, you know, not good direction. Stay in the middle of the road. Okay, we're good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.